All right, before we begin, I want us to pray together. So you can close your eyes. If you want, you can put your hand on your heart. I'm just going to take a moment to wait before the Lord. Abba Father says, even now I'm filling you with my presence. I'm filling you with my Holy Spirit. I see, I know, and I care. And every time you call out to me, I hear it. I hear your prayer. I hear the cry of your heart. And I satisfy you with my unfailing love. So come to me, knowing that you can tell me everything, and you can cry out, and I will answer you. And my spirit will fill you for every place that you lack, and every place that you feel empty. So let my spirit fill you completely, overflowing. Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be talking about baptism. We've been going through this series called Next, and next means what's next for New Vine. And I think some people are like, we've been talking about next for a long time. When are we actually going to do it? Anyway, let's go on to this one, baptism. And we're going to be reading from passage Matthew 28, 19 through 20. So let's read this together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. New Vine is part of a larger network or denomination called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And this is one of the key verses that the Christian and Missionary Alliance, or the CNMA, that we focus on. And so it says that, first, we are making disciples, and we're sharing the gospel with others, and then we're baptizing. So everywhere we go as the church, we're sharing the gospel, we're telling people about Jesus, then we're teaching them how to follow Jesus, and we are baptizing them. And today, we're going to be talking specifically about what baptism is. So what is baptism? Baptism is a public declaration to follow Christ. Let's read Galatians 3:27 together. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So when you have decided to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, baptism is a public way of saying, I am deciding to follow Jesus. So, you know, in our lives, there's different moments where we have ceremonies where we're celebrating, you know, significant moments in our life. So what are some common ceremonies in our lives that we recognize or celebrate? Birthdays, okay. So every year, you know, we celebrate another year of life. Some of us like celebrating big birthdays. Some of us like, how many of you don't like the attention and you just rather do something quiet or nothing at all? Okay, but it is a celebration, right? I'm 1 year older. What's another ceremony that we do in life? Weddings, right? So weddings, you know, is a way of celebrating and saying when a husband and a wife come together, they're saying we're committing to each other for the rest of our lives, right? And baptism is also a celebration and a ceremony, and it's arguably one of the most important moments of our life. That is, we are deciding to follow Jesus Christ. And so baptism is a way of saying that I am committing my life to Jesus and I want everybody to know about it, right? So it's a public declaration. So baptize, the actual word baptize is to immerse, to douse, or to saturate, okay? Or in other words, immersing a person into a large quantity of water. Let's read Colossians 2:11 through 12. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So maybe you have been to a baptism, or maybe you've seen pictures or videos, but usually it will involve water, right? So immersion into the water means that you're being buried and you're putting off your old self, your old life. And then when you rise up out of the water, it's a picture that you're coming into the new life that you found in Jesus Christ. And it's like God is washing you and cleansing you. And so, why do we do immersion into the water? Well, I guess when you read the Bible, the New Testament, when you read people getting baptized, usually it's into the water and out of the water. So for the Christian Missionary Alliance, we recommend that people will go into the water and then come out. And then maybe in certain circumstances where it's physically impossible or whatnot, then we'll do alternative ways, sprinkling or whatnot. But that baptizes to immerse into water. And actually, you see a number of instances in the Bible where people are baptized. Jesus himself was baptized by, do you know who? John the Baptist. Yeah, a fitting name, right? John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan. There's another story in the Bible where Philip is walking along the road and he finds an Ethiopian eunuch and he shares with him the gospel. And then after he receives salvation, they see a body of water and he gets baptized right there. There's another story where Paul the apostle, he's in jail and then God does a miracle where he breaks down all the doors and the chains and the jailer is about to kill himself. And then Paul says, no, don't do that. Say, we're all still here. And Paul shares salvation with the jailer, and the jailer ends up receiving Jesus Christ. Actually, not just him, but his whole family. And it says that after they receive salvation, they're baptized. Peter, after Acts 2, after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's speaking to a crowd and sharing with them about who Jesus is. And he's encouraging them he's inviting them to receive salvation. And then many believe and then are baptized. And then there's another story where Cornelius and his household, they all receive the Holy Spirit and then they're baptized. So in all of these cases, it was for the believer. It was for those that, you know, realize, oh, Jesus is real. Jesus can save me. So it was a conscious act to follow Jesus. And so we encourage people to be baptized when they are conscious enough or old enough to make a personal commitment to follow Jesus and to follow Christ. And so there's sometimes like different ideas of what baptism is. And some people say that, oh, maybe you can get baptized as a baby or whatnot. But at least in the CNMA, we encourage people that when you are conscious and old enough and you can personally make a decision that I want to follow Jesus, then we encourage you, yes, get baptized. Baptism is an outward sign of inward change. Let's read Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you make Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, you begin to realize that your life starts to change. Your life starts to look different. And it happens both immediately, the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but also happens progressively. And that's what we call a crisis and progressive sanctification. So crisis sanctification means that the moment that you receive Christ, that he changes you, he justifies you. You were a sinner, and now you are forgiven. You were an orphan, but now you're a son and daughter of God. You were guilty, but now you are justified by God through the blood of Jesus. And then every day following that, you begin to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus. And as we're daily getting rid of the junk and getting rid of the sin in our life, God starts to change you. And so that's why you notice that after you receive Jesus, you're like, you look back at yourself after 1 year or 2 years, and you're like, man, I'm not the person, same person that I used to be. And that's what we all, that's the joy of what we get to experience as Christians and believers, that Jesus is really changing my life. I used to be this way, and now I'm this way. I used to have an old way of living, and now God has given me a new way of living. And it's because God is changing you, and he's transforming you, and he's sanctifying you, and he's making you holy. And so we are crucified with Christ. Now, living for Jesus is the new paradigm and the new way in which we live. Yeah. Baptism is an act of obedience. So in Acts 2, this is the story when Peter is telling the crowd, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says that in response, 3,000 people responded to the invitation, and those who accepted his message were baptized. So baptism is an act of obedience in the sense that says, okay, Lord, I am choosing to surrender. I am going to lay down all of my rights, all of how I want to live, and I'm choosing to surrender my life to you. And at the same time, baptism is a commitment to grow in a faith community. And so being a Christian is not just a single person thing. It's a no man is an island, right? And sometimes people are like, well, you know, my faith is a very private thing. It's between me and God. But actually, the reality is that when you become a Christian, you're actually committing to a community of believers, because let's face it, faith and living out our faith is hard. And you need support. You need someone there to pray with you. You need someone there to support you. You need people to walk with. Sometimes we need people to speak into our life. Sometimes we need that accountability. Sometimes you need someone to give you a loving, swift kick in the butt and say, hey, get up, you know, get over yourself and follow Jesus, all right? And so faith is always done in community. And so it's not like I'm getting baptized and then that's it, you know, see you later. But it is really committing to, I'm going to grow in the family of Christ. So, who should be baptized? Is there a long list of qualifications? I have to know Jesus for 10 years. I have to serve in the church. You know, I have to tithe. I have to do all these things. Yeah, it's very simple, right? Anyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then you can be baptized. Some people are like, well, I got to wait till I get my life together. Got to get my sins together. You know, I just got to put things in order. But actually, it's very simple. If you believe indeed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, it's time to get baptized. Amen? So, it's not something that we should actually overcomplicate. And actually, every time you look in Scripture, the moment that someone receives salvation, they very promptly get baptized after. I think sometimes in our culture, we separate salvation and baptism into two separate things. And actually, when you look in Scripture, they're one, right? The moment they receive salvation is the moment they got baptized. So let's read Acts 2, 35 to 38 together. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Real simple. He said, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. Okay, let's get baptized." Right? So sometimes I feel like we wait and it says, "I'm not ready. I don't feel ready." It's okay. Who's ever ready? It's like if you, how many of you are married? Okay, how many of you felt 100% ready when you got married? You're lying. I'm not even married and I know that, right? It's the same way with following Jesus. Like, I got to study more theology. I got to read more books. I got to do this. You know, all Jesus is asking is, "Am I your Lord? Am I your Savior?" Okay, let's do it, right? And so I think it is a natural thing to say, I'm not ready, or I feel a little nervous or scared. And I think that's a normal feeling, but I think God will give us the courage, right? The strength and the courage to take that next step of obedience. And I feel like once you do it, it's like, oh, I'm so glad that I did that, right? Don't wait till you're quote unquote holy, right? Some people are like, "Oh, you don't know my past. Like, you don't know what a bad life I used to live." Hey, join the boat or join the crowd. We're all broken. That's exactly why you need Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, right? What is it? Jesus didn't come to save the righteous, right? He came to save the sick. And he said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners to repentance." And so, you know, if you feel like you're not worthy, that's a good place to be, because actually you're not worthy, right? You're not worthy of salvation. You're not worthy. You can never do anything to earn the gift that Jesus gave us, which is that he died on the cross for your sins. He saved you. We were separated from God. There was no way we could know him. And God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. And it was nothing we could earn, but it was his free gift of salvation. And if we choose to accept that gift of salvation and say, "Jesus, come, save me. And I want you to be the Lord of my life," I think that's enough, right? How many of you have been baptized? Should I show of hands? Okay. How many not yet? Okay. I encourage you, really think about it, right? If indeed you say, "Well, I do. I really do believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior." And if that's true, I encourage you, be bold, take the next step, and get baptized. I think we have one coming up in December, right? So if you're interested, you can talk to Douglas or talk to me. And say to the person next to you, "Baptism is a celebration. It's not a sad thing. It's not a solemn thing. It's like a party, all right?" Jesus actually says it's a very good thing. Let's read Luke 15, 4 through 7. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Did you know that every time someone accepts Jesus, there's rejoicing in heaven? God is so happy. He's like, yes, like God goes out to find the lost, right? And he's so happy when his children return to him. And so baptism is a huge celebration in heaven and both on earth. Amen? So what do you think? Should we get baptized? All right, let's do it. Let's do it right now. All right, I'm going to invite Douglas, and he's going to...